Come on, let's give him a hand clap of praise, everybody, for about 27 seconds. Can we just clap our hands as hard as we can, as loud as we can? Hallelujah! Come on, church, clap your hands for Jesus. Clap your hands for Jesus. Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah, 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 yeah. Thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We serve an awesome God, church, don't we?
Hallelujah.
We serve a mighty God, church, don't we?
Amen.
If you believe it, can you say, yes, we do?
Yes.
Say, yes we do.
Yes, we do.
Come on, grab someone's hands and tell them we serve an awesome God. Find someone else, tell them we serve a mighty God.
Hallelujah.
Come on, if you believe it, say it. He's a mighty God. He's an awesome God.
Hallelujah.
And we praise his name tonight, church. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. While you're standing, can we pray right here? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this great church. Hallelujah. Thank you for your presence that we feel here right now. Thank you for our pastors, Pastor Sapp, Pastor Kyle, and their families. Pastor Kyle in his absence. Lord, bless these wonderful people and the elders. Father, help me to speak clearly, slowly, and precisely. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in our sight. Oh, Lord, my God, if you agree with me, scream amen 3 times.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Please excuse my big, giant, old-fashioned laptop up here, church. I've gotten used to my iPad, and it's broken or something. It's not working. And at the same time, I couldn't print no more. The print machine wasn't working at my house. Keisha probably broke it or something, you know. She breaks everything. No, I'm just kidding. I probably broke. I don't know what happened to it. It wouldn't print the paper. And I said, well, baby, I'm going to kill the whole laptop. So bear with me here. I'm not techie at all, at all. So help me here. Hope it don't shut down or break or nothing. And we're just singing worship. Amen? I don't believe it will. But you will be standing for a few minutes here. We're going to read an entire book tonight. Can you believe it? We're going to read. Is it okay, Brother Spears? We're going to read in it. Brother Spears, no. We're going to read the book of Philemon. We're going to read the entire chapter. If you get tired, if you can't stand no longer, if you're not, you know, in as good a shape as Brother Sapp is, then you can sit. But if you can, if you're able to stand, please stand while we read it. I'm going to read it. You read it along with me. And we're going to revert back and forth. But you won't be standing long, I promise. No more than about maybe 34, 37 seconds. Amen. As soon as she get it up on the screen, Philemon, the 37th chapter. I'm sorry, Philemon, the book of Philemon. There's no chapters in that book, right? It's only one book. One chapter. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. And to our beloved Apaphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, into the church and our house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in our love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore thou, I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin, which means to force, or by compulsion, that enjoin means, to do that which is convenient, or to do that which is right. Verse 9. Yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such. And one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I beseech you therefore, my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee, somebody say, unprofitable. Thank you. One more time. Unprofitable. But now, somebody say, profitable. To thee and to me. He's profitable to you and to myself. Whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him that is mine own bowels. In other words, receive him the way you would receive me. Whom I have retained with me, that in thou stead he might have ministered unto me in and out bonds of the gospel. But without thou mind would I do nothing. In other words, without your permission or without your consent. that thou benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season. Keep this verse in mind if you can. If you're in the habit of underlining or making notes in your Bible, I would encourage you to do so here. He says, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season that thou should receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved, especially to me, but how much more to thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he had wronged you, he did wrong them. If he had wronged thee or wronged you or owed you anything, he did wrong them and he did owe them. Put it on my account. In other words, charge it to my tab. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it, albeit, or however, I do not say to thee that thou owest unto me even thy own self besides. Philemon was a convert of Paul. Yes, brother, let me have joy in thee, in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience. In other words, I'm fully assured that you will obey, submit, adhere to this letter that I'm writing to you. I write unto thee, knowing that thou will also do more than what I'm asking you to do. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. Church, clap your hands for about 11 seconds. Thank you, Lord, for the word. Let me teach real good, Lord. I need your help. As you're being seated, thank you so much for bearing with me here. I heard Jenna James say something one time. Excuse me for one second. Kind of hot. I heard Jenna James say something one time. Elder Jenna James, he teaches and preaches. He's one of our preachers here in the church. He said that just in case the word of God don't go over well, he said he liked to give him a lot of scripture. So you can't leave and say, well, I didn't hear from the Lord tonight, because you have already heard from him. Amen? This letter, for a number of reasons, got my attention. I was reading through the Bible a couple of months ago, and I read through this letter, and I put a reminder in my phone to come home that night and study the book of Philemon. And it drove, you know how you put the clock, and you put the clock on the clock, you know, remind me to do this, and it even reminded me for about 2 weeks to study Philemon. Because when I first read this book, it just, something this last time just kind of got my attention. Because I thought it was quite awkward. Now, follow along with me here. I'm trying to run, make a point. I don't have very much time, but please bear with me. I try not to talk too fast. I thought it was quite obscure that this 24 or 20, however many verses is in this book, that this is the only letter, and I'm going to review some of this stuff again. So at the risk of being too redundant, just indulge me here for a few minutes. This is the only book in the New Testament, or I would say in the entire Bible, period, that was written to a man for another man, or for the purpose of another man. If you search 66 books, and especially as it relates to the Pauline letters, or the letters that Paul wrote, this is the only letter out of the 13 that he wrote that it was directly to a man for the sole purpose of another man. This would be what you call a personal letter. This was not necessarily written to the church. It was not necessarily written to a region, even though it was also the same letter to Timothy. But this particular book, I'm sorry, to the church in Colossae, as you will read in a few minutes here. But particularly speaking, this letter was to Brother Philemon concerning Onesimus. And I want for a title, Sister Dunn, if you can, title this, and I want you to repeat this title with me. Somebody say, my name is Onesimus. I didn't hear everybody. Come on, you got to say it like you believe it. Say, my name is Onesimus. So tell your neighbor, hello, brother Onesimus. Hello, sister Onesimus. Just call me Onesimus. When you email me at onesimushotmail.com. When you text me, brother Onesimus. That is my name. It's the title of this preaching, this teaching tonight, and I hope we can kind of jump into it quickly. So put your hats on. We're going to dive right into the message here. So Paul is writing this letter concerning this brother. Now, real quick, it's kind of just stuck in there for some reason, because we don't know a lot about Philemon. He's not kind of trinket through as we read with some like Luke. You know, you Mark, then you have Mark in the book of Acts. You have the book of Luke, then you have Luke in the book of Acts. You know, you have a redundancy of names being used, Brother Mackey, over and over and over. But here it is, this Philemon guy just kind of drops in the middle of nowhere, And Paul is writing this letter to Philemon, and he's writing it as a very compassionate letter. He's not even using his authority. He's not being authoritative at all. He's appealing to him as a brother or as a friend. This is the only book out of 13 of the books that Paul wrote. In the first opening verse, he's not making he's not asserting himself as an apostle of God. You read in all the letters Paul wrote, 9 of them, of those letters, Pastor Sepp, the first thing he says is, I, Paul, as an apostle of Jesus Christ, were called as an apostle of Jesus Christ. Or somewhere in the opening verses or the opening lines, he asserts his office as a God-called apostle, which is a messenger of God. But this is quite different, because here he does not at all. He says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. So he's appealing to Philemon as a friend, as a brother in the Lord. Paul, a prisoner. This is the opening that he chooses to do, which is quite different from all the rest of them here. And as always, Paul did not consider himself a prisoner of Rome or circumstances or the religious leaders who started his legal troubles, but Paul considered himself a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Now, you read this story in the book of Acts, you would understand how Paul stood before different magistrates and different leaders, and by his own request, he appealed to Caesar. And the last person he seen, he said, you have appealed to Caesar. To Caesar, you will go. So Paul didn't say he was a prisoner of his circumstances. I'm not a prisoner of some whatever the case may be. He said, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Paul understood Romans 8:28, maybe because he wrote it, I don't know, but he said that all things work together for the good of them who love God and are called according to his purpose. So Paul understood that his circumstances were not being dictated to him or by him, by his circumstances or by the things that he was going through. He understood that God was in charge of his life, orchestrating every move that he made. Church, say amen. And he was not in no way moved, he said, by none of these things. He says, to Philemon, our beloved friend, Paul wrote to Philemon, a Christian brother living in Colossae. This is the only place in the New Testament where Philemon is mentioned. I said it earlier by name. But we do know that he was a beloved friend of Paul. Paul's friendship with Philemon is shown by something significantly missing in his letter. And I said earlier, it was his claim to his apostleship. He made no claim at all to his apostleship in the first letters. But he also greets two other people. It was, how do you say that name again? It was Apophia, if I'm probably saying that wrong, A-P-P-H-I-A. And the second name was Archippus. I believe that's the name, that's the way you said it. If that not, then you can look it up. It's in the second and third verse. And they say this must have been his wife and the son. The wife and the son was also helpers in the ministry. But Paul is saying, I'm writing this letter not only to you, but it's also concerning your wife and your son. So you have to listen to this now, because it's very obscure. Paul, most of the time in his letters, never writes to the wife, to the pastor of the church, which is Philemon, then to the wife, and also to the son. So that's one of the things you got to stop and ask yourself, why is that there for? And as we proceed, we'll see that it was because of he was writing for the man Onesimus. Church, say Onesimus. Onesimus was a slave that had ran away from his master, which will lead us to the reason why he would include the wife, because the wife in their customary time, in their custom, the wife was basically the supervisor of the home. As you go back to the time of Naaman, you know, Naaman was the captain and his wife, you know, was overseer of the slaves and stuff. So Onesimus was a slave so Paul had to include the wife because she was basically the supervisor. I'm sure she was the one reported to brother Onesimus that the slave had ran away. The slave had gotten away. And as it goes here, so Paul says, I'm writing to you, I'm writing to your wife, and I'm also writing to your son concerning this man, Onesimus. Y'all stay with me? He said, to the church that is in your house. Obviously, we understand that they didn't have a building. They didn't have an edifice as we have here. They say that some historians say that there was no edifice built, at least until after the 3rd century. So it was just custom. The churches was in the houses. The Jews had synagogues, but the Christians at that particular time period did not have a building or a particular place of location, of worship, as it relates to a building that they would call a church. They just called their home. home. The leader will begin the church right inside of their house. So he says, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you. And I thank my God always making mention of you in my prayers. And he's telling him this, which is another personal thing, because he's building up for something. He's wanting to get around to something. You know, you want to ask somebody a favor, and you don't want to just call the guy up and say, hey, Sean, can I borrow your pickup? You know, like I do, because he's my friend. But if you don't know him that well, you probably have to say, hey, Sean, how you doing, man? How's the weather? But if you understand Sean Mackey, like I understand him, he's a straight shooter. He don't talk a lot. He don't, you know, beat around the bushes a lot. So when I call him, I don't ask about the weather, about football. I say, hey, Sean, can I borrow $1,000 or something? You know, I don't know, whatever it is I need. I don't beat around the bush. I just, hey, can I borrow this? But if you don't know him, you call him up and you ask him, how's the weather? You know, how's sports. I don't watch them, so I can't tell you what's going on. But, you know, you have to kind of beat around the bush. Just what Paul was giving his courtesy to Philemon. He was saying, Philemon, I pray for you. In my prayers, I make mention of you all the time. Only four times in the letter, Paul said this to a church. I make mention of you. I personally call your name during my time of prayer, Philemon. You're my dear brother. You're my dear friend. And I call your name when I'm praying, when I'm seeking God. So I thank God how you have refreshed the church. You have been kind to the saints. You have shared your faith. And this is why I'm writing to you, because I thank God that you have grown up. Because it's something to see someone who you are responsible for coming to God. And now you see them, they have grown up and they're serving the Lord. And they're moving about and doing things. I tell the young men all the time. Now, I look at one of the young men, I say, man, you've come a long way, man. I remember when you first got here one or two or three or four or 5 years ago. And now you're serving the Lord. You're doing these things. And it's just something to see someone when they come to God and how they have grown up, especially if you are directly responsible for that person's conversion. It just gives you a certain measure of joy, you know, to see someone who you have been personally involved with discipling. You see them grow up and start serving the Lord, getting a prayer life, you know, being faithful to God in the local assembly, and you see that person, and you say, hey, man, how in the world are you doing? You know, he said, this is my son. You know, he loved Philemon, and now Philemon has grown up, and he's serving the Lord, and he has a church in his house, and his wife is helping him. He said, but I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus. Now, let's get back to Onesimus here. Onesimus, we understand, was a slave. Onesimus had ran away from his masters, you know, Onesimus and his wife, can't say her name, I believe it's Apophia. And when he ran away from them, he ran to the city of Rome. Now, you got to understand something about Rome during this time period. Historians say that Rome had something of 60 million slaves at any given time, 60 million. Now, I don't know if we can fathom that. I have no idea how that looks. But they say Rome has something like 60 million slaves under their captivity, you know, during this time period that Onesimus ran away, which will, you know, speak highly of God's providence and his sovereign, how he would allow this Onesimus out of some 60 million slaves to meet Brother Paul. Now, Paul was a prisoner. And I don't know if Onesimus had got put in prison or Onesimus had heard about Paul somewhere, or he was just walking down the street and invited to a Bible study, because the magistrate or the warden or the officer allowed Paul freedom. He allowed his friends to come in and out, as you were reading Acts. He said, let Paul see his friends. So Paul, even though he was a prisoner, he still were allowed a certain measure of freedom and a certain measure of a liberality with his friends and stuff. So he held Bible studies. So in one of these occasions, you can just kind of imagine, use your own, you know, imagination. But however it happened, Onesimus met Paul. Now, out of 60 million slaves, and when you think of slavery, you can't really think of the Western type of slavery or the American type of slavery. It was an absolutely different thing then. It was not based on your race, your ethnicity, or your background, or your creed. It was based on your economical status, you understand. It was based on who your family was, if you had money. Now, some people would voluntarily go to slavery. They would sell their, you know, they want their families to be out of debt, so they would say, I'm giving you my life. For whatever reason, some people were born into slavery. It was not a matter of your color or your skin or nothing of that matter. It was purely an economical position that you served in due to whatever reason of your own, or maybe not your own. But whatever the case was, Onesimus was a slave, and he ran to Rome, and he met Paul. And after meeting Paul, was responsible for him being converted, gave him a Bible study, and Onesimus got converted. And as we read here, as we read earlier, I told you to underline in your Bible, Onesimus became very useful to Paul, very profitable to Paul. He became an asset to Brother Paul. Now, you have to understand the significance of this. Paul wasn't just looking for people to help him. He had Timothy around, and he had Demas, and he had Alexander, and he had people around him. But for some reason, this Onesimus, this runaway slave, this person who had been oppressed probably his entire life, this slave had found Paul and became an asset to Brother Paul. And he said in a letter, he said, he is not only useful to me, but he has also become useful to you. Now, how did he find out who Onesimus was? How did he know that Paul knew Onesimus? I imagine that Paul was talking, having a cup of coffee or tea, and he's telling him about his background. And he said, well, Brother Paul, I got to tell you the truth. You know, I'm a slave. I've been baptized now, and I've received this wonderful gospel, but I got to tell you my background because it may affect my future, you understand? And Onesimus started conversion, and then Brother Paul just started pouring his heart out. And Paul said, whoa, what was your slave master name again? Onesimus from Colossae. You know, Paul said, of course I know Onesimus. You know, I'm kind of responsible for him being, you know, saved and being a Christian. And herein lies the letter that we're reading. So Paul probably one day, because Paul understood, he didn't want to cause an offense in the church. I'm going somewhere. Just bear with me here for about 7.5 minutes. Paul didn't want to cause some division in the church. He didn't want Brother Onesimus to come to a Bible study. I'm sorry, Brother Philemon. To come to a Bible study and see Onesimus up, you know, I'm a bearing for Paul, or see Paul preaching and see Onesimus on a keyboard or on the drums or singing the choir, and Philemon is going to say, wait a minute, isn't that slave that I used to own that ran away from me? And as we read farther, that he actually stole something from his master. Now, you have to understand this. Please stop me if I'm going too fast here. But slaves was at the their lives was at the leisure of their master. I read one story, Sister Peterman, where one slave was carrying some crystal goblets for his master during this period of time. And he was carrying these goblets, these little crystal goblets. I looked it up, like little crystal glasses. Wasn't even worth a lot of money, Alexis. And while he was carrying these crystal goblets, he slipped and fell, I should say. And when he fell, the master took him and threw him in the fish pond. Guess what the fish ponds had in it? I found out a new fish, brother. Lampreys. Anybody know what a lamprey is? I just found out, Brother Motto. I said, what is a lamprey? I showed the picture to Keisha last night. I said, look at this horrible beast. It looked like an eel. It's like something like this long. And these things are predators. They tear flesh alive. And this man threw his slave in a pond, in a fish pond full of lampreys because he had broke a crystal goblet. Now, Rome feared the slaves revolting against their master. So when a slave did something, they would punish them severely and harshly and swiftly with no mercy shown at all. That was just their custom. That's the way Rome did it. So I guess Onesimus figured, if I'm going to run away, I might as well leave with something in my pocket. So he stole something from Brother Philemon. So, he deserved death, nothing less. Capital punishment. Thievery alone was enough for capital punishment in this time period. But thievery plus a runaway, you're going to die immediately. So he fled to Rome and he got converted. Paul took him in, which was very legal. It was lawful for Paul to do so because there was also a little clause in the Roman law where if a slave ran away, like Onesimus did, and he found a haven at someone's house, the master of the house could offer him protection, but he would have to convince him to go back to his master within a certain period of time. If the slave did not want to go back to his master, that particular person whose house he was living at would have to sell him at the auction and send the proceeds to the master. That's how strict the law was concerning slavery. And this was the position of Brother Onesimus. He was a runaway slave and thief that had left the house of Brother Philemon, who had worked for him, who had him rightfully, legally, and lawfully. And he fled and found Brother Paul. And when he found Paul, Paul gave him a Bible study. He believed and got baptized in Jesus' name, got filled with the Holy Ghost. But there were some things that he couldn't just look over. There were some things that he kind of had to deal with for the sake of offense, you understand. Paul said, I got to straighten this out. I got to fix this thing you got with Brother Philemon. We can't just look over this matter. This has to be dealt with. I don't know what else he had done. I don't know what else laws he had done. History, the book of Philemon don't speak of it, but it speaks of this thing. So Paul one day, as we just read, wrote this letter. And he appealed to Philemon, not authoritatively, not in a position of power, but as a friend. This is one of the only books. He didn't speak nothing of his apostleship. He spoke nothing of what God had used him to do in the church. No, he didn't appeal in no way of what he had done. He just said, as a friend, can you please consider? He said, now I could force you by command. I could step in and say, hey, brother Philemon, if you don't forgive him, I'm going to put you on discipline. I'm going to silence you in the church. You won't be able to preach. But no. He didn't want to take the approach because he wanted to appeal to his humanity. I should say to his Christianity. He said, accept this. He said, this man was once unprofitable for you. He was just a rag that you used and just throw him away. He said, but if you can, accept me. And if you would accept me, accept Onesimus as you would accept myself. Now, it was a little play on words. I like him, Paul, the way he wrote things, kind of poetic in the way he did in his style of writing, because the name Onesimus means profitable. The name Onesimus means usefulness. So what Paul was saying was, now maybe he can fulfill his name. Not just to you, but to me. Because that was the origin and the root of who he was to be useful and profitable. But he couldn't be that being a slave. He couldn't be that being in the condition of his present circumstances. He had to be converted. I'm so happy that God take people who are useless and unprofitable and makes them useful and profitable in the kingdom. Hallelujah. The Bible says that who he called, he qualified, and he justified. Hallelujah. Not many wise or noble were called according to this world. But he take the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. The Bible says, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I don't need a PhD. I don't need my family to be from a certain creed or background to be used by God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But he said, whosoever will, hallelujah, let them come. Let them come, the Bible says. Let him come and him come and him come. Whosoever will is the only qualification to be used in this hour by God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Paul said, this useless slave, this Stephen, runaway slave who was nothing to you has become something to the ministry. He has become something. And not only to me, but to you, Brother Philemon. He goes farther in the letter. Look at this. This kind of got my attention. I said, come on, computer, work right. He said, now listen. He said, I'm sending Onesimus back to you. He said, now, I want to send him back, Sister Nikki, because I want him to make it right. But before he get there, I want this letter to precede him so that you can read my letter and maybe your heart can kind of soften to Brother Onesimus. And he said, and whatever he owes you, because I know he owes you something because slavery came at some price, you know. He owned this man's life. And then he stole from Brother Philemon. He stole from his household. He said, but whatever he owe you, charge it to me.
Now, it's easy to say that when you got something. You know, it's not hard for me to say, hey, what you want from the ice cream, baby? Get whatever you want from the ice cream store because I got $4 or $5 in my pocket. You know, it's not hard for, you know, Uncle Sal to see me at Walmart and say, bro, you want that pickup truck? Go get that little Tonka pickup truck because I got that. You know what I mean? You eating at the restaurant and I say, sister, you can eat all of whatever you want, you know. I got this. You know, everything $8 or $9, so I can afford whatever on that menu. You help yourself because I understand my resources. I know I got at least $10 or $11 in my pocket. I can afford me a McDonald's value meal. Every once in a while, we go out to Chili's or something, you know. I can afford me a good Chili's, you know, the ribs and the fries and stuff. I can afford that. So I can tell you, meet me at Chili's. And whatever you want is on my tab. But if you say, I'm going to Palm Beach to buy a house, I pray for you, bro. You know, we had joined together and pray. You say you're going to root Chris. I say you might need to carry Brother Luma with you because I can't help you there. Paul, a prisoner in chains, living off the mercy of people around him, didn't collect a love offering, wasn't on a salary, didn't have somebody giving him money. He literally lived. You read in the letter, he said, can you prepare me a lodging? Because he didn't have money for hotels. He didn't have money to set up shop nowhere. He said, Brother Philemon, I trust that you're going to do even more. Can you prepare me somewhere to stay when I get that? Because if you don't, I'd be out in the cold. This man had nothing. He had nothing, but he didn't have a credit line. He couldn't go to John Deere and say, pity, charge this, you know, 60 inch more to me. No. He didn't have credit cards. He had nothing. So how was he in any position to tell Philemon, whatever he owe you, charge it to me? What if Brother Philemon would have said, okay, give me $1,000, Paul. Hey, man, can I borrow $1,000? Because he didn't have it. That's what made it so significant. He was willing to go in debt for this Onesimus man that was a slaving, thieving runaway that had become profitable for the ministry. He said, Brother Philemon, whatever he owes you, I'll pay for it. Because he had got converted. Does that sound familiar at all? Onesimus owed a debt that he had no way of paying. There was nothing Onesimus can do to pay the debt that he owed Brother Philemon. He couldn't have came up with enough money. He couldn't replace the crystal goblet. He couldn't, no. There was nothing he could do. The only thing that was worth anything was him going back, offer him his life. So Paul said, no. Your life is too valuable. He said, Brother Philemon, if you could take my life instead. Now, Paul was significant to the church. It seemed as if it would have been the other way around. Well, I'm Paul, the aged apostle of God, sent to write 13 letters in the New Testament. I speak in tongues more than you all. I went to the third heavens. I've, you know, laid hands on people that received the Holy Ghost. I've spoke a language that I can't understand. I'm responsible for more converts coming to God than anybody in that time period. But yet, he was willing to lay down his life for the least. A thieving slave. He said, Brother, I'll die for you. I see value and worth in you. I see so much value, Brother Richardson, in your life that I'm willing to lay down my own life for you. Now, listen, it's easy to say that to somebody who's somebody, you know. Somebody who's somebody. You know, my wife, I jump in front of a truck. My two girls, I jump in front of a truck. But for somebody I don't know about that. Not sure. It's harder to lay your life down for someone you don't see as having worth. You don't see worth in this person. How can you give everything for them? How? Is this impossible, man? How can I give my everything for somebody who I don't see having worth? But Paul saw worth in this Onesimus. He saw something in him. He said, something in this guy that's, Philemon, if you, what can you do? Can you, whatever he owe you, charge it to me because I know what he did to you and I can't accept him back until you forgive him. I can't really embrace him completely and start using him in the local assembly until you let that thing go. The Bible says, Jesus said in the book of Matthew, he said, if you have an offense against your brother and you come to the offering to give an offering, lay your offering down and go to your brother and say, however I have offended you, forgive me, and then come back and complete your offering. If you have something that's in us, some type of thing, maybe you have been rightfully wronged. There wasn't a play on words. You was really wronged by somebody. Saint or sinner. And you harbor it rightfully. I let Brother Shep use my truck. He brought my truck back with no oil in it. No gas in it. The motor locked up. I use the same pickup for work. I cut grass for a living. I need my pickup truck. Now he not only kept my transportation, but my means of my livelihood. And then 6 months later, he come back again and asked my pickup. Oh, man, you need my truck again, bro? What do I do? One or two things. Release him. I say, brother, just can you please be careful this time? Or I say, no, man. I remember, you rightfully wronged me. You rightfully took from me what was mine. You caused me a major setback. How can I even think about releasing you of that thing? This is what Paul was asking Brother Philemon to do for Onesimus. He said, release this brother of that thing. Let this thing be gone from us. He said, because he can't really operate freely. I think it bothered Onesimus. I think Paul would see Onesimus down sometime and say, what's the matter? He said, man, I owe Philemon, that brother in that other country, in the other state, in Colossae. He's put APBs out on me. He's got folks looking for me, bounty hunters and everything. What do I do about that? Paul said, you know what? I see this thing is bothering my brother. Let me go between the two people. Let me offer myself for my brother. Let me stand in the gap for my dear brother. Let me release him of this burden and this debt that he has incurred. And the Bible says that Paul wrote the letter. And he said the letter got there for Onesimus. And Onesimus came shortly after. He said, man, listen to me. Send him back as soon as you can. Now, the thing I thought so significant, and I'm going to close with this because it's already 8:20. I'm not going to go any further. I don't have time. Have a lot more. I just don't have time. When Onesimus made it to Brother Philemon's house, this is not scripture, so please can you indulge me here for about 37 seconds? Later, Philemon, or Onesimus, became the bishop of this particular area. He became the bishop. This is all I have. I don't have time. But you know what platform he used to rocket his ministry? Can anybody guess? $63 question? Brother Philemon. Brother Philemon, they say that not only forgave him of this debt, but he helped him establish his ministry. He later became Bishop Onesimus. Jesus took what rightfully belonged to us. He took what rightfully was ours, the debt, the price. He took what we rightfully deserved. He took our debt and he says, Brother Corn, can I call you that? Brother Lamar do. Brother Corn, this is what you deserve. I'm going to remove this from you because you can't bear it. and I'm going to bear it. And because the price to pay wasn't just a number or a figure, but it was a life to be laid down. And he said, the reason why I can do this for you, brother, is because I see worth in you. I see value in you. And a drunk, lying, adulterer, fornicating, cussing, fussing, fighting, attitude, temperament, just to name a few about myself, I see worth in you. And because I see worth in you, I'm willing to invest everything. I'm willing to invest everything because I see so much worth in you. Not in your present condition, not in your present circumstances, the thing that you have, but I see worth in you, Onesimus. I know what you did, understand what you did, but I see worth, I see value in you. So let me write a book. Let me write a letter. Let me inspire men. Let my spirit move upon men as they write letters and books to others, to tell them to forgive and to let it go. Release it. No. They owe you. Yes, they did it. They did it. They lied. They gossiped. They did everything you're probably thinking. But even with that being said, he said, let me write a book. How many times should I forgive my brother? 490. How should I love as I have loved you? Greater love have no man than this, than a man will lay down his life for a friend. He said, let me write a book for all the Onesimuses that's going to come, that's going to be runaway slaves, has no part in the world, don't know where they fit in. Let me write a book to Philemon so that he can forgive that slave and that thief, not as a slave, not as a servant, but as a brother. You can enslave a stranger, maybe, but how can you enslave a brother? Philemon came to him as a, not as a slave no more, but as a brother. How can you pit a brother back in chains? Get back down there, scrub that throat, brother Onesimus. No. Brother Onesimus, come. Embrace me as a brother. Embrace me as a friend, as a fellow servant, as a fellow laborer in the gospel. Embrace me as that. Not as a slave. I forgive that debt. Forgive that debt. Whatever he owed to you. Paul wrote the letter. I can't believe I didn't see it with my ways before. Paul spoke nothing against slavery. I wish I had time to talk about it. He didn't discuss it at all. He did, but he dealt with the heart of the matter, the heart of the man. By dealing with the heart of the man, he overthrew slavery. He revolutionized it from internally, not externally. He didn't, he did more to abolish it than any law that was written. Please stand, I can't go farther. The time will not permit me. Hope that was okay. I'll teach about it again. Sister Wolcott, you'll be hearing more about that when I teach that next Sunday. So just be prepared. I'm going to finish that. We're going to pray, and I'm turning over to Pastor Sapp. Just pray right where you are. Just however you feel like it, however you want to. Father, let your word fall deeply in our hearts. Let your word be in us as a burning fire. Help us, God. Help us to embrace Onesimus. Help us to embrace him, not as a slave, not in what he owe us, in what he did to us, and how he made us to feel, but help us to embrace him as a brother, as a fellow laborer in God. Help us to embrace Onesimus, Lord, because I know that I am Onesimus. I was a runaway slave. I was a thief, Lord, and you restored me. Oh, God, help me to restore my brother. Help me to restore my sister. Father, give me the mind that you had, Lord. Oh, God, let me right the wrong. Let me write it off, Lord. Whatever it was, let me write it off. Hallelujah, Jesus.
This is not reasonable. This is not logical. This is not within my humanity to do, God, but in you all things are possible. Father, you are counterculture, Lord. You say that we should let go and forgive however many times as needed. This is hard stuff. This is stuff for men and grown folks. Help us, God, to be men. Help us to be church people. Help us, God, to be who you have called us to be. Thank you, Lord. We pray this prayer in the only name we know, the only saving name, the only name that can give us power to do these things. By the name of Jesus. Clap your hands as Pastor Sepp come back.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you so much. What a tremendous story of God's grace and God's love. Can we end with this song? It was amazing grace, how sweet the sound. You can kind of dismiss yourself and let's just move around, shake hands, give some hugs, and let's sing this song. Amen. Just to remember the goodness of God in our lives, the demonstration of his love and mercy and grace. Amen. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. We'll see you on Sunday. Where are we at? But now I say, was blind, but now I see. And what we're going to do about it, we're going to praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Tell somebody one more time, it was amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, and I once was so lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Let's keep on praising God. Praise God. Thank you for that message, Brother Powell. God bless you. In Jesus' name, we'll see you folks on Sunday. Keep our pastor and his wife and family in prayer. Thank you, Brother Powell, for a tremendous word. Amen. We need our platform crew to help us tonight. Amen.